First of all, I'd like to make a request that you pray for my niece Catherine tomorrow. she's having a gallbladder removed, which might sound a simple operation, but considering her numerous health problems, leukemia, cancer, the skin, etc., it's not so numerous. The chemotherapy has actually damaged part of her heart, so that was also comes into it. So I'd like you to, if you wouldn't mind, please pray for her tomorrow. thought for today, if you have a wisdom tooth out, does that mean to say you're less intelligent? Now, if that's the case, people with artificial teeth, do they have AI or artificial intelligence? Next of all, I'd like to thank Steve this morning because in planning today, I had one idea until fairly recently when I came up with a second idea. And with Steve, when we were praying this morning, he gave me a ball of string and a stapler and said, pray about those. Well, you can, because the string is like God binds us together, and the stapler is his command where you nail, in these days, staple your problems to the cross. So thank you, Steve, for that. doing this, I wanted to find out how you actually put a Word document into your tablets, and I've actually found out how you do it. It's quite simple. I suppose many of you have had these telephone calls. Oh, is that Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so regarding the accident you had the other day? And I don't know about you, but I get a bit fed up with these, so I get a bit cheeky with them and said, oh, yes, that's right. I was terminally injured. And then they say, oh, and they don't know what to say. But I had one the other day. Mr. Martin, yes. We are Mark Bates Insurance Company. Can you please confirm who you are? So I thought, no. Why should somebody ring me and ask me to confirm who I am? You've rung me. So I said, no. How do I know who you are? And the answer is you don't. I could ring Dave or Julie or Gary and tell them I was the King of Sheba, and they've got to believe me. But what I have found is that with God, when he's talking to you, you know damn well who he is, and there's no reason otherwise. If it's Satan, generally you can find the problem in the path. So what I thought I would ask this morning is, where is church and what is it? It's a fairly simple thing that, you know, you watch these television programs, the archaeologists are digging up a pile of stones and things like this. This is the church, this is the altar, and so on. Well, to me, I'm sorry, but that is not the case. In the Old Testament, it was the high priests could go into the holiest of holies, the temple. Yeah. People were told that unless they followed the God's laws, they were doomed. Mm-hmm. And only the priests could save them. In their temples, or churches, whatever you like to call it, they had an altar. Mm. What were they sacrificing? I assume it was animals. But on one occasion, as we know in the Old Testament, a father was asked to sacrifice his son on an altar. As we know, it didn't happen. But he went through the stages of building the altar and everything else like that and laying his son on the altar. And God said, okay, fine. What was this all for? Why did this happen? God solved the problem. And how did he do it? Well, as we all know, what this time of the year is, it's when the baby Jesus was born. A miracle took place. A Virgin Mary was visited by an angel and told she was going to have a baby. Now, when Joseph came home, what do you think he thought about this? I mean, modern day, you become pregnant, and I haven't had anything to do with it. But no, God solved the problem. Jesus was born, and during his life, before he set sail, he was generally respected because of what he knew. He was caught in the temples, astounding the authorities, etc. And they realized that he was somebody special. John the Baptist said that someone greater than himself and would come and he would baptize him. And at that stage, obviously, God came down in the form of a dove and said, "This is my one and only son who I'm well pleased," or words to that effect. He chose his disciples. He didn't just say, "Follow me," but he chose them particularly so that he had a cross-section of people. And when he told them what they had to do, "Leave everything behind you, come as you are." He asked his disciples, he told his disciples various stories, as we call, which we read in the Bible. But he also related those to other people as well. You know, you can think of the rather lady of the street round the well, and how he solved her problems for her, and in many other ways. On one occasion, Jesus told the officials in the church, in 3 days, he would build his church again. They laughed. They didn't believe him. But in 3 days, Jesus did. He conquered death for us, gave away, got rid of all our sin. So, what is church? Or where is church? Cast you back to the 19th of November when Julie preached, she referred to Paul's letter to the Ephesians regarding the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. John 13, verses 34 to 35, and I'm reading from the NIV, Jesus says, "A new command I give to you." This is where I get emotional, I'm afraid. "Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So that was a new command that overruled everything else, all of the past. Jesus brought a new command. Matthew 16, 16 to 18, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by the flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Powerful words. John 1, 47, 51. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree, and you see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So, where is church? I believe that Jesus is church. If we go outside there, this building is not a church. Church is out there. We see these magnificent architectural buildings, which they say glorifies God. But to me, I'm sorry, it doesn't. The building doesn't glorify God. It's the people inside it that do the glorifying to God. So, I ask the same question, where is God? Where is Jesus? Where is the church? Jesus has said, where two or three are gathered in my name, then I will be with you. So to me, if two or three of us gather together, whether we're doing a Bible study, whether we're doing a whatever in somebody's house or wherever, if we have a picnic somewhere, if we have a barbie at somebody's house, there is church, because Jesus is with us. And one of God's promises is that I will never leave you. You know, there's that famous poem about the footprints in the sand. When I looked down, I only saw one set of footprints. Where were you, Lord? The Lord says, I was carrying you. So, where is God? Where is church? Amen.